What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Day Marie.
It's the one and the only, Danielle.
It's the Soulful Sage coming at you live.
All right.
Okay. Welcome back, everybody. This is episode 7, which is actually part 2 to last episode, is the mic greater to the pen. So in this episode, we're just going to touch on some things that we didn't get to touch on last episode. We'll also summarize for those of you who might have missed last episode what we talked about then. But as always, before we get into anything, let's shoot it over to Danielle for the announcements.
All right. So the announcements, nothing extravagant. Just wanted to say to follow us on Instagram. Our Instagram page is Spoken Soul Pod. We plan on doing a live sometime a little bit after this episode is released. And also, if you listen to us and you just haven't gotten around to it, make sure to leave us a review. And if you are new to the Spoken Soul family, welcome. Thank you for tuning in. And let's get into the episode.
Let's do it. So we have a spotlight poem from Jeremiah Aishad. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to butcher nobody's name. So he actually submitted 2 poems. So we'll be listening to both of those today.
Yep. And before we get into the poems, just want to let y'all in on a little bit about him. He's a poet who has performed in North Carolina, Georgia, and Virginia. He's known locally from where he's from, and he is also a published author. So yeah, as a poet, he has a lot under his belt. He submitted 2 poems to us, as DeMarie said, and we're going to go ahead and let you listen to the first poem, which is Beef.
Let's talk about the hood and our hood politics. Let's talk about Black Boy Dreams and how beef inspires it, inspires the whole two-way avenue thing when it comes to making it out the hood. Now follow these 2 paths, if you would, because whether you pound the rock at the park during the day on the concrete, or you wait until it's not to sneak and geek, slide and crack rocks to fiends and junkies, you still know beef. That's just part 1. Keep up. Whether you stealing the score and hear the crowd roar after you've made a basket, or you stealing from the store to hear your boys roar, extra credit if you disrespected the law and live to talk about it, you still know beef. Beef. From the 06 D-Wade commercial, taught us well. Beef taught us to kill, no remorse, no ill will. Beef is the root of our exit from the hood. And as long as you know this lesson to be true, MLK Boulevard will bless you. Malcolm X Way will glorify you. Your likeness will be stained on walls and corners. The next generation to be ordained to know of you and its history, whether streets or ball. Schools can't be a way out. Why he's taught that is a mystery, but beef instilled in our veins with no modest trickery. Institutionalization in the pavements make us think the only way out is to give in to the modern day slavery and enslavement with no looking to change it. Keep up. Whether pulling the trigger or shooting a jumper, either way you're shooting shots, and sometimes you connect, but oftentimes not. We've got to learn to play our game and not the one we're taught. And if you still don't see the correlation, you can do this action. Beef. Balance. Eyes. Elbows. Follow through. Connected forever in the hood and in our youth. We've got to be the change to knock these chains loose. Beef.
Okay.
That was good. That was good.
Okay. I see what you're coming with, Jeremiah.
Okay. Yeah, I really like that one.
I did too. But before we get into it, let's go ahead and play the second one for the listeners before we go ahead and jump in this discussion. So the second poem is called Matrimony.
All right.
The culmination of our celebration of our matrimony, the rite of passage to tell them old ways you about to get left, to tell them old hoes the M in homes, it stands for marriage, and I have found my forever home. I
No, forever is a long time, and it's still not long enough to describe how intervention was divine from the moment we met. Baby, I'm blessed. See, we can talk horoscopes for hours. We can talk reality TV until the TV is watching you and me, me and you go to sleep in arms collaborating to create a comfort that is sustainable only in your presence. Your essence is amazing. This moment, these two words mean more to me than what anyone could ever say. And I mean that. That includes any presidency speech or anything of the nature. It's the immersion for me. It's the happiness for me. It's the I love you and I mean it for me. And that's on period, as you women say. Maybe you'll understand that a little better. I get a little lost in trying to talk my dialect to you. I'm just so happy to have you as my Mona Lisa because my picture I can paint with my wording. Isn't she lovely? Ain't that what Stevie said? Well, Mr. Wonder, in case you were still wondering, she's lovely beyond measure. She's sweeter than candy from Grandmama Purse on first Sunday at the church, right after you got popped for dozing off. Y'all know what I mean. She's so sweet, she gives you cavity fits that you just can't sleep without at least trying to mess with it to numb the pain or something. It's like God called and said, yeah, when I said made in my image, I really meant her. She's a goddess amongst girls. She's everything and she owns this world. And that's all I got right now.
Hey, it's lit. It's lit.
Yeah, that's sweet. That's cute.
Fire.
That's sweet.
I like that one too. I like that one too.
True.
That has got to be my favorite between the two for sure. Y'all know I'm a sucker for love. I love it.
Aww.
Anyways, let's jump into this discussion. Who wants to kick it off? I don't care which poem y'all start with either.
All right, well, I'm gonna go ahead and start with the first one.
Okay.
Like we said, the title of that one was Beef. You could definitely tell because it was mentioned repeated a lot throughout the poem, so you know the repetition of that played in really well. I wanted to say that I really liked how that he used an acronym of the word beef in the poem. And with that, he basically was explaining, let me see, what was it that he said? He said, balance, eyes, elbows, follow through. As everybody knows, if you play basketball especially, that's what you're taught when you're like shooting a shot. But also Jeremiah sent us a video, and in that video he, instead of showing how a shot was being shot, he showed us how you can pull back with a gun and then shoot. So even with that acronym, he was further connecting the ideas of shooting a gun and shooting a basketball. So I really like that. And I also just liked how he was explaining that, you know, playing sports, violence, like with guns and everything, those are not all ways that the Black community can further themselves as a whole, from his perspective, at least that's what I took from it. And yeah. I just really appreciated that.
Yeah, I agree. I actually didn't even realize that was an acronym, excuse me, until I read it. And then you obviously said it backstage. I was like, oh, snap. I didn't even realize that because I'm a visual person. So mm-hmm. I thought that was real dope. It was real clever because it was subtle. It wasn't something that was like right out at you. It wasn't like screaming at you. And I like subtle things like that because play on words is always, it gets you to think more. Like, okay, when I hear beef, I'm thinking of conflict. And if you think of the poem, it was a conflict between either gun violence or sports or this and that. And having that debate of how we can move forward as a community and having those conversations about, hey, we're more than just this. So mm-hmm. the whole poem showed like a conflict within itself. And so I think the title was perfect and very relevant for everything going on right now. So I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I think picking up off that, like, I definitely agree with both of y'all's points. And I think this is just a good like analogy for a lot of things. Like usually it's shown either through sports or violence. It's the only way to get up and get out. and just kind of putting that in this poem, like a snippet of, hey, quick mindset of how it may seem to some people in different places, when there's definitely more to it and more ways to escape, and just explaining that frustration and just real strong feelings about it. I think I really felt Jeremiah throughout this whole poem, and like what he was really trying to say, like spoke to me, and like really just saw a lot of things in different ways. So I enjoyed every bit of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It was very relatable. And I enjoy poetry like that. So if we don't have anything else to say about that one, y'all want to move on to Matrimony?
Yeah, I know that was your favorite. You want to start us off?
Listen, why you gotta put me on the spot like that?
You said it. You said it here. It's recorded.
You're right. Okay, I'll start. Like I said earlier, I love everything that has to do with love. Anybody who knows me, I'm like a hippie at heart. Love, peace, and happiness. I don't want no drama, good vibes only. And I felt that in this poem. Like, this poem made me want to fall in love. Just the relatability, just, you know, just the gushiness. Like, I could feel how he felt about this person that he was talking about. Like, it felt very sentimental. I liked his comparisons. I believe he said something about comparing her to Papado. And I really liked that reference, because when I went to Papado, I fell in love with the food. So I can only imagine how he feels about this person by comparing her to a great restaurant. But yeah, I just, like I said, I love everything about it. It just gives you, it puts you all in your feels in a good way. Like, I'm not sad after listening to this. I'm just like, yo, okay, that really exists. It gives me hope.
But yeah, it was dope. What did you think about it, Boston?
I felt a lot with it, like, especially like feeling strongly about who my girlfriend, like, aww. I definitely was like feeling those feelings. I was like, oh yeah, I feel that. Like, over here had me grinning and blushing throughout listening to it. So I definitely liked it and enjoyed it. I'm like, well, I need to write some of this down. This for later. But I definitely enjoyed it and vibed with it a lot.
Yeah, I feel that. I'm a single person as well as Dave Marie. So, you know, it was just something where I couldn't completely, I didn't completely think about one, like a person.
Yeah.
When I listened to this, but I really still enjoyed the piece, you know, because, you know, single, not single, right, whatever type of relationship you might be in, these type of poems are like still great for everybody.
Yeah.
So I really liked the slang that he used, because he was talking about a woman, but he used typical woman slang. I think he said like period. Yeah. I thought that was really cool. He referenced a lot of things. For example, he referenced the Mona Lisa. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody knows the Mona Lisa. And also he included humor in it, which I always enjoy with spoken words in general, but especially when it comes to spoken words about love. It kind of reminded me of a poem by Sheehan, or I think I'm saying his name right, I'm not exactly sure, but he was on Def Jam Poetry, and he did the poem This Type Love. So it kind of reminded me of that a little bit. So I was just like, yeah, I'm really liking this. So it was cool also to see the contrast between this poem and the other poem.
And the cadences of both poems, I really like how he recited them. Like, I think intonation is a key role in how you listen and perceive a poem. Like, the way somebody recites their poetry really makes you feel different things. Like, if he wasn't as hype, I'd be like, okay, this is a mellow type of poem. But he was hype, he gave the energy, like, I could feel it. He made you feel it. Like, you could tell there was passion behind that.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely purpose behind both poems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jeremiah.
For sure, for sure.
That was dope. Thanks for submitting your poetry to us. Y'all make sure to follow him. I don't have his Instagram right now, but we'll tag him on the page. So follow him. Follow him. He's up to some great stuff. I'm certainly going to keep dibs on him, tabs on him, dibs on him, whatever the word is.
Oh, keeping dibs. Hold up. Better send us in a DM.
Not like that, y'all. Not like that.
No, sir.
Not at all. But I really enjoyed this, and I look forward to seeing more, hearing more. But as always, we will hit y'all back after this commercial break.
All right, and we are back from that lovely commercial. I don't know who made this commercial, but boy, y'all need to start paying him. He needs to be on Hollywood. That's all I'm saying. But anyways, let's get back into the discussion for the day. I'm just being honest. But before we start getting more into like today's discussion, let's definitely look back on what we talked about in part one. If y'all didn't just listen to it again before this episode, like I always do, let's go over some of the points. I know we talked about other preferences for either spoken or written. Personally, I know I was on spoken. I think Day Marie, were you on spoken team as well over written?
Yes, I was.
And Danielle was saying written all day, every day.
I chose both.
Oh, yeah.
You did choose both.
That's my bad. You was. Okay, no, let's go. And then we went over, is battle rap considered a spoken word? Danielle came out with the testifying point that definitely made us believe that battle rap is, if anything, is definitely a cousin. If that, so can't be mad at that. Can't be mad at that. We then went on, is it cringy or nah? It can be cringy. That's all we gotta say on that. You know we were talking about it was cringy and all. We know you heard some cringy spoken word. And
written poetry. Both.
And yeah. Written. True. Basically, if it exists, it can be cringe. That's just all we have to say. It ain't perfect. Nothing's perfect.
Yeah.
And wrapping all that up, we now going into today. So, first questions first. As always, the pros and cons of being a spoken word artist versus a written poet. Just from your experience, who would like to start that off?
The pros and cons of being a spoken word artist or written poet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whichever one you want to answer to.
Yeah, go crazy.
Oh, man. That's a loaded question, Heike. I think the pros and cons of both are kind of similar because it has to do a lot with preference. Like, if you're a good writer but you're not a good speaker but you want to do spoken word, then that's a con, because you know public speaking is not for everybody. I personally am one of those people who hates public speaking, but I love spoken word. So I think that could be a con if you don't, you know, practice, if you don't put the effort into it like you should. Another con of written poetry, I feel as though like written poetry is overlooked more than spoken word because it's not as relevant, at least to me. In my experience, I see much more spoken word rather than written poetry. And what I mean by written poetry, for those of you who are listening and don't really understand the difference, spoken word is literally the physical recitation, I'm making up words at this point, recitation of a poem. It's dramatization, it's live, and you can actually hear it. It's not just written down. Written poetry is like the ones you would find in books, the Insta poetry pages. That's just the words. There's no visual, there's no voiceover, there's nothing. So just wanted to clarify that for people who might have been a little confused. But yeah, I think that's one of the major cons, is just written poetry isn't as big as spoken word at the moment.
Okay, I feel that. I immediately started thinking of the cons just because, you know, that's what people want to hear. So from my experience with spoken word, the con of that, just for me personally, is memorization. Oh my goodness. That is my biggest struggle. Like, I feel like I do good with tonal changes, with like using like hand movements, hand gestures, body gesture, all of that, displaying emotion. But it doesn't matter if I can't memorize the poem. And I just feel like that it takes time if you're not somebody that can memorize something like easily.
Right.
Right. So, right.
written poetry, you don't have to memorize it. It's on the paper.
True, just put it there. It's like, right? Look.
It is right there. It's in your face. But with written poetry, I would definitely say a con with that. If you're looking into getting published, writing a book, it takes a lot of preparation time. Like, so both things, I feel like for me, takes time, but yeah, like in a different kind of way. So yeah, I'll talk about the pros later. Go ahead, Boston.
Oh, bet. I was gonna just go pros and cons at the same time, but I'll save my pros when you do your pros, just to keep all in sync. So some more cons. cons of spoken word, it can go wrong easier.
Mm.
Like if you don't have good presentation skills, your poem, regardless of the words, will not come across necessarily as strong. Like you gotta put a little more legwork in spoken word. So if you're like, oh, I don't want to practice that, or practice delivery, I just kind of want it out there, it will not be as strong as it could be as well. But if you just written it and put it out there, people will read its emotion themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be like, oh, but I can like add that on or leave that in, which leads to another con. Since people are putting their own emotion and reading it their own way, if you have a specific way that it needs to be said or feeled, like, or felt in some type of way, you can't necessarily have all that control on written poetry.
Yeah.
Unless you recite it for it. Like, I remember when we looked at a real We Cool, and then when she actually read it, I never knew that's how it was supposed to be sounding. I was like, what? But like, it shows like, oh wow, like the power of it is definitely like, there's a lot more power when you say it and then say, all right, now read it. But yeah, you'd always be stuck like that. And one more con, I think it was already mentioned, but the accessibility. I think like, just because nowadays with like how a lot of people are geared, spoken word is sometimes easier to consume. If you're like, even if you're looking by it, not looking for it, like you find it by accident, you're more likely like someone will listen to it just because it can be listened to versus like being read. Like it can still be out there because there's a lot on Instagram, but
yeah,
not a lot of people are reading nowadays, just like in general, maybe like at least younger people. Like I'm teaching and these kids, boy, they ain't reading nothing. So we are.
So what is like, that?
<they be shook. laughs> So like, yeah, like spoken and all that's getting a little more easier to access for a lot of different generations, stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
Nice. Before we move on to the pros or whatever, I do agree with what Boston said about the interpretation. I feel like not spoken word, written poetry is way harder to interpret because written poetry, you kind of put it out there and then you form your own opinion of what you think the artist was saying, rather than when spoken word is done, you can really tell what the spoken word is about. Mm-hmm. Typically, spoken word artists tell you what the poem's about before they even recite it. So that's true. Definitely a huge con with written poetry. But I think that could also be a pro, because with written poetry, I feel like it's more relatable across the board rather than spoken words. So I think even though misinterpretation could be a con, I think it also plays as a heavy pro because of the fact that you want it to reach multiple people and not just a set crowd. So that's my pro. That was literally my only pro that I had to say. So
yeah. Yeah, I was actually, when Boston had said that, I was actually going to say that's a potential pro as well. Like,
yeah,
right. Just hearing the different perspectives that somebody can have on your poem, like the different stories they can tell you on why they have that perspective. I think that that's really cool. I feel like it's a good way to connect with people. And that's why I just feel like overall is more of a pro than a con, just because like if that's your intention, Daymarie talks about this all the time, intent.
Yep.
If your intention is to not be like, oh, this has to be very specific, like for people to understand, because you know, with poetry, it's like a lot of people have their hands on it. So a lot of people are gonna think of certain things in different ways.
Yeah.
They might be near, like, they might, my bad, y'all. Lost my train of thought. Yeah. That happens sometimes. I'm a human being. But they might be close to getting, understanding the purpose that you initially had with the poem. Yeah. And I feel like that's not a bad thing that they're near it and kind of missing it a little bit. Because even, like, I guess as a poet, sometimes you don't want to be extremely specific with stuff, and that's why you're using poetry in a way to symbolize different things. I know this probably doesn't make any sense, but sometimes when I write poetry, I might not be 100% ready to talk about a certain situation. So if I'm writing something through a poem, in that way, I know what I'm talking about, but other people might not know, and sometimes that makes me feel more comfortable.
That makes sense. I get it.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
She said, "This doesn't make sense, but we got it. It's okay."
Said, "This is crazy. Nah, it ain't that crazy. Oh, good."
No, but then I was gonna say, a pro for spoken word. I feel like that is, like you guys said, is making the intent more specific. That's obviously a pro. But then also, like, with spoken word, you can do spoken word at speeches. Like, people ask you to go to different events to do spoken word. I mean, they can ask you to recite a written poem, but I feel like it's a little bit more likely in the climate that we're in now for people to ask for spoken word artists.
That's true.
That's just what I think.
That's true. I don't think you're wrong. I think that also... I know we're going to touch on this a little later in the episode, but I think that goes back to that question of accessibility as well, because I mean, written poetry is everywhere. You literally could probably see it on a poster somewhere, but that's not necessarily accessible for public events. Like, you just wouldn't read out of a book. Like, I personally don't think, like, that's
no, what, I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
you know, go to, there's not a lot of events where people go there and they hand you out different poems and they're like, okay, we're gonna read this and talk about it.
Right, exactly. Unless this is a book club, I don't think that's happening. So I feel you on that. Boston, what were your pros?
Pros, and it kind of blends in with kind of the next question. The accessibility, and you're already hitting on that now. Accessibility, I think spoken word is much more accessible, quicker. Mm-hmm. You can just spit that out right then and there. And just like you said, instead of passing out the pamphlet, hey, y'all ready for this? But and the pros of, I think the pros for written, at least, is kind of more the timelessness. Mm-hmm. Since it's like real open and it's on paper and it's in general, like I can always read it and make it something different for what I need. So that goes back to the interpretation point, but it's always there as well. Like, especially like with the digital age, like performances can be deleted. Like, sometimes you could miss performance and are different, like not find that audio file versus written. It can be like copied, recited, copied, put out. So I think just many more times sometimes than a performance can be put out. So those are kind of my pros.
That's valid. That copyright come in handy, don't it? but since we're talking about accessibility, do you think one is more accessible than the other?
I already said my point.
Both kind of touched on it.
But my opinion varies because, like I started saying prior to, I feel like it depends on your perception of what accessibility is. Like, do you mean accessibility in the form of being tangible? Like, I can have this in my hand right now, or I can have this in front of me right now? Because if that's the case, then I feel like written poetry might be more accessible. However, if you think about spoken word and the era that we're in right now with the pandemic and stuff, I think that might be more accessible because you literally can find spoken word on Instagram, Facebook, in person, not in person, and it's free. Written poetry is not always free. So I think it just depends on what you mean by accessibility. However, written poetry, I see a lot more than spoken word in terms of when I'm driving down the street and I see a poster and it has a rhyme scheme. I'm seeing poetry. When I'm on the bus and I see a quote from Maya Angelou, I'm seeing poetry. When I'm scrolling through Instagram and I'm looking at all these other poetry pages, it's 9 times out of 10 written poetry. So I think it just really depends on your day-to-day experience of how accessible one is over the other, because I think they might be 50-50, honestly.
Yeah, I feel that for sure. When I think of accessibility, I kind of just think, which one do you have most access to? Which one can you find the most without like digging and searching and spending money? I would definitely say in school, written poetry is more accessible. They don't even really teach spoken word. If anything, you might learn about doing monologues in theater.
Right.
And you have to take the theater class to learn about the monologues.
True.
With spoken word, if you have a TikTok account, you know that you could find that, like, it's a video platform. So that's you can find spoken word on there. You're probably not gonna see a whole lot of written poetry at all. And if you do, it goes by so quick in the video clips that you don't even get to like really experience the written poem.
Right.
Right.
But then like spoken word at you get to consume spoken word at open mics. Usually open mics are free. If you do have to pay for it, I don't personally think that it's that expensive. It's really kind of 50-50. I really wouldn't say that one is more over the other, because also you get Insta poets on Instagram, but then you also have some people that have spoken word pages probably. It's really 50-50. I really wouldn't say like one is more accessible over the other.
All these points, I'm gonna go 50-50 too.
So the jury is in. It's 50-50.
It's 50-50. Good talk, y'all. Good talk.
That was a discussion. Now we just playing with y'all.
If you're listening to this, maybe just think like which one is most accessible to you. And I feel like different people are gonna have different answers, and it might just add up to being 50-50.
Exactly. That might be a good poll to put out there, but. So moving on, now that we've cleared that up.
Perfect.
Do you believe spoken word, a spoken word performance, y'all, I can't talk.
You're fine. We're all human beings.
Right. I'm like, man, I really don't even know what I'm saying. Can a spoken word performance make up for poorly written poems?
Hey, Boston kind of low-key touched on that before.
Yeah, refresh my memory.
You remember?
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I did.
He don't even remember.
All right,
you're good. I'm going to just summarize it then. Basically, what he said was that your spoken word performance sometimes can interfere with your writing if you're not hitting the points. So I took it as no. I took it as no. Spoken word performances can't make up for poorly written poems.
Okay, I feel that.
I think it depends on your audience. I think if you just got a general audience and they see you turning up and you maybe have a good line here and there spaced out, then it's going to be all right. It don't have to be as deep as like I really super technical sometimes.
Yeah.
Because it's not right, all right there. You'd be hearing it, you'd be like, ooh, give it some time. Ooh, you know? And it's good. It's like, all right, yeah, we made it through that one. So I think maybe kind of, but like, I think it has to at least be decently written. It can't be garbage and then be trying to put some parsley on it. Because if you burn the toast, the toast is burned. And I don't care how much butter you put on it, it's still going to taste like burnt toast.
This analogy, okay.
Analogy. No, but that's facts. He's spitting over there.
Okay, I get it. Makes sense. I lost my train of thought, but I think
I love how the sentence was like flowing perfectly. Like, I thought you were really about to like give your opinion. You said, I lost my train of thought. Anyway, moving on.
But I do agree with both of y'all. I think, however, one can't really make up for the other. And it goes back, and I know I sound redundant, to the fact that it depends on the person's intention. What is your intent behind reciting the poem live? What's your intent behind writing the poem? Was the intent to be a poor written poem? Like, I don't know what your intent was, because it may be poorly written to me because it makes absolutely no sense. And you got like he, she, it, they, we, it, they. And I'm like, what is this? What is this saying? Like, what is your point? But if you go up there on the stage and you kill it the way you say all those words. Look,
hey, give us an example. Say that in a really like hype, nice look. Hey.
I'm gonna try it.
Let's see.
What words you said,
let's test it out.
Here we go.
You said she, it, they, she, it, or whatever.
We, he, she, it. They, he, it, they.
You know what that reminded me of? That reminded me of My Wife and Kids when Junior kept trying to do different poems, yeah. And they really weren't that good, like if you were to read it on paper. But he was like hitting the drums and like being dramatic, right. Adding pauses.
It's still something anyway. So I mean, hey, it was kind of. But it made you feel something like, oh, she really feeling it. Like, I mean, obviously there would be more words other than that. But my point is, I think it depends on the intention and the person and the delivery and all that stuff. All these other factors play into it. But
yeah.
Ultimately, I don't think one can make up for the other, because if the intent was for it to be a written poem, then it's not going to come across right as a spoken word.
Yeah, and we talked about that in the previous episode, so definitely listen to that if you haven't already. But yeah, back to your example, DeMarie, like you were feeling the poem, I was not. I think that's the difference. Like you caught my attention, though. I would say that you did catch my attention. But imagine if you were doing that for like 3 minutes, which like spoken words are like kind of near that length.
Yeah,
right.
Wouldn't be paying attention anymore. Because it's like, what is she saying? Like, I know she's trying to bring life to this, but I really don't think that it's as good as she thinks that it is.
Right.
But okay. Anyway. But yeah, I think that a spoken word performance can't really make up for a poorly written poem. I just don't think that it can. Because like I said, think about how long somebody's going to be doing that for. Like, yes, your acting is great. The poem overall is not.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it can make it a little bit better, but I don't think it makes up for it whatsoever.
True.
I think
that's just our opinion. Somebody could, if you're listening to this, you could be thinking, yeah, it can, and that's cool.
Hey, that's
prove it. Send us a video of a better prove it. What's that? What, how they do on the TikToks? Donna, Donna, Donna. You think so, huh? Donna, then do it. Send a bad poem. Make it sound better. Let's see what happens. New challenge alert.
But I mean, I did want to say this though, like if you're doing like a comedy, because that can be counted as spoken word,
yeah.
And somebody could think that it's written poorly, but you're like DeMarie said, your intention was to make it funny. So yeah. Then at that point, I do think that it can. That's the only exception to me.
You are the only exception.
All right, moving on.
Next, on that note.
So I wanted to ask this question, just something a little lighthearted. So would you prefer someone to dedicate a written poem or spoken word to you?
Spicy.
Answer this first, Boston, since you have a partner.
I'm dead. So from experience, actually, my girl, she actually wrote a poem for me, and it was the sweetest poem. She's like super shy too. Like, she's not, she's like, I don't be writing poems, But I tried, and it was like, aww. Yo, like, this is a bomb plum, not gonna lie. This is OP. Some A1 sauce, like, it's good. And I was like, oh. I read it the other day before I went to bed. I was like, let me just look at it. I was like, oh my God.
That's oh so my God.
So I definitely would have someone dedicate a written poem to me out of the two.
If only y'all could see this man's face and how he just.
Right.
Shout out to Chris. Period.
Them cheek muscles is getting exercise right now because he cheated.
What about you, Danyo?
How you gonna skip yourself and go to me?
Like how I did that, right?
I'm dead.
Okay, so this has nothing to do with my preference for written or spoken word, but I would prefer written because I feel like if you're doing a spoken word piece, you're low-key putting me on the spot because you're probably doing it in front of a lot of people. I kind of don't like that. Like, because now I feel like I'm everybody looking at me, looking at you, looking at me, like, you know, start doing a whole poem right now. But I just can't take the publicity. I can't. So... I mean, and I also like when people write me notes and letters. Like, I really, really like that. So I think that's probably another reason why I would prefer written.
Okay. I could see it. Me personally, even though I'm a shy person, I think I would much rather a spoken word dedicated to me. And here's why.
Okay. She gotta give us a story.
I am used to getting, like, notes and stuff too. They're really sweet. They're more tangible. You could keep them longer. So I get it. I wouldn't mind a written poem, but again, I rather hear what it is that you wrote down so I could feel it, because again, it goes back to that idea of interpretation. My interpretation of the words that you written down versus how you would actually say them to me. Like, don't hide behind the pen. Don't hide behind the paper. I want to see your face.
If you're interested in Daymarie whatsoever, listen to this.
Like, I get it. It's cute, but I want to see your face. I want to know it's real. There was a time somebody sung for me for my birthday, and I literally ball crying because it was the sweetest gesture. Like, it showed me, like, you did not care who was around or what people thought to express yourself in front of these people to me. Was I shy? Heck yes. But it was sentimental, and I recorded it, so I still have it tangibly.
Aww.
So I think so.
Okay.
All right. Now we know.
Right.
If y'all are trying to talk to Damien or Danielle, y'all know the secrets now.
But look at Danielle's face, though.
No, because she said, you know, she could still... she said that if you're doing the spoken word, then you don't care who else is listening, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Dang, that's a good point.
Right?
So it's like they don't care who's listening, but I do, because now I'm getting nervous. Like, I'm about to have an anxiety attack because you out here doing this in front of multiple people. Like,
listen, make it known, sweetie. I ain't mad.
I mean, but then, you know, he could write me something and then I post it on my wall in my house. Everybody that comes over my house, they gonna see it.
Very true.
Options.
Yeah.
Preferences, yeah. Opinions.
Options and preferences.
They're all valid. But no, that's what's up. I like that question.
That was good.
Now y'all got me thinking about, all right.
Have y'all ever written a poem for somebody or done a spoken word for somebody? And by somebody, I don't mean your mama or your daddy. I mean somebody that you're interested in. Have you ever done it? Or a lover? Have you ever?
Yes and no.
I haven't. I just wanted to know.
Wow. Okay. I've written love letters that could have been portrayed as poetic. That's why I say yes and no. I think it depends on how you read it and how you took it. It wasn't on purpose, but I naturally write in, like, iambic pentameters for some reason. But
skills.
Ooh, natural fancy. Poet. Sorry. Naturally writing poem language, my bad. Y'all can do better. It's just my first time.
Oh my gosh. I cannot. Oh, he's weak.
He's too weak. Anyway, answer the question. Have you?
I did, and I said yes. Why are you coming at me yet?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't.
Look at you. Look at you. Thirsting for blood.
All right. But let's wrap this up, y'all. Let's wrap it up.
Wrap it up. Wrap it up. Wrap it up.
I guess
I know Boston wanted him. Boston wanted to ask us a question.
What's up, boss? Boss.
I gotta ask. So, what can we say? Here we're bringing in the title. Is the mic greater than the pen? Or y'all think they equal? How do y'all feel?
I'm sorry, I'm just laughing because, you know, it was so extra. But anyway.
It was extra. But yes.
All right, the episode's about to end. I'm just kidding.
Okay, man, never mind.
Before we ask that question, though, before we ask the public that question, did y'all have any favorite spoken word artists or recommendations people should listen to, spoken word or written poetry poets?
All right, so I don't have any favorite spoken word artists, but don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean I don't listen to different spoken word artists. It's just I just don't have a favorite. Yeah. I listen to most of my spoken words from Button Poetry. You can find them on YouTube or Instagram. And I also get my spoken word from just going to open mics, either whether that's in person or through Zoom or something like that. Since we are in a pandemic, I've been having to go to virtual open mics. And my favorite written poets would definitely have to be Audre Lorde, Pablo Neruda, and Nayira Wahid. I think I said her name right. Yeah. She has an Instagram if you want to go to her Instagram, and she has some good books out. So yeah, that's a poet that is alive if y'all want to have a living poet that you want to follow.
That's lit. That's lit. For me, I would have to say the Soulful Sage himself is my favorite. I'm just kidding. I've heard a lot of your spoken word for real, and I mean, like, yo, this man is talented. You really need to post it more, but you know.
So I'm about to sit over here and feel some kind of way. I'm not gonna talk anymore.
We need to share it with people more. But personally, I don't have a solid favorite in poetry in general, whether that's written or spoken word. I watch Wan Poetry, WAN Poetry, on Instagram. They're really dope. And if you have the Caffeine app, I know we discussed battle rap being like a cousin of spoken word, but Caffeine has some really dope artists on there. If you think battle rap is kind of poetic, then check it out. But yeah, I don't have a favorite per se. I like whoever comes on my page, and if I find them interesting, then I'll take a liking to them. No favorites here.
That's valid.
For me, I mainly got two. I used to listen to a lot of Jill Scott Heron, like The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, and like a bunch of other of his works. Mm-hmm. And for someone alive, because I know he passed away, RIP in 2011, but for someone alive, Andrea Gibson, I got told about them. I think, what was it? Wow, 2019. I was about to say last year. It's definitely 2 years ago. And I listen to them every now and then on Spotify. They have a good amount of works on there if you want to check them out. And I like what they do.
Dope. I'll have to look them up. Look up everybody y'all said, because I be out the loop, y'all. But I think that concludes this episode. Any last remarks?
Oh, no. We just had to answer the question. question is
Mike greater than the pen?
Yeah, is the mic greater than the pen? I'm gonna say 50-50 again.
Boom.
I'm neutral.
Yeah.
I'm Irish. Switch. Whichever one.
Girl.
I'm gonna say 50-50 too. I like that. I like that.
Yes, 50-50. Both of them.
All right. Well, with that being said, y'all, thank y'all for listening. We still have some few more episodes left in the season, so check out the old ones, get ready for the new ones, and love us on Instagram too. Like, just stay involved. Just stay involved. We got time. We still gonna be around.
That's what's up. As always, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for listening to Spoken Soul,
where we speak from the soul
and let our feelings flow.
Flow.
Take it out. Throw it on.
Oh my gosh.
All right, y'all. Catch y'all soon.